Yep, we're live. Welcome in, guys, to another edition of the
D-Squad.
So, we have questions, because by the time you guys hear this, it'll have been a week since Rick got...
Why y'all say it like that? Like, since Rick got...
Nothing bad happened. He's alive.
He's alive. But hold on. Did you get to... You know what, though? It's being a trainer, you know. His squats were awfully deep this week, you know.
Gliding up and down, bro.
Less wind resistance. Yep, less resistance going on. Like,
very, very, yes.
No one key forces.
Listen, my squats were ass to grass.
Yep.
I can tell you that straight up. Straight up.
How
so, gentlemen, if you are in a CrossFit studio and you're having trouble getting that ass to grass, go get waxed, and you're obviously gonna be like, shoom, you're gonna be hitting those ass to grass like nobody's ever seen. They're like, yo, what happened to Billy? Billy got waxed.
Yeah, it looks amazing. Just clear.
Will you do it again?
No.
Are you sure?
Positive.
Would you recommend it to your friends?
Yes. Do it with the worst friends.
I only recommend it to guys who say that their girls have to be waxed. Like, they're like, no, I prefer my girls waxed.
I like that. Equality.
Yeah.
Equality.
If you prefer your girls waxed, you need to experience what they're going through. 100%.
On a regular basis. Like, I mean, I'm straight up, like, if you want to ask a girl to do something, or my motto in life is never ask somebody to do something that you're not willing to do or haven't done yourself.
I'm actually very surprised that Osiah has never gotten waxed. I don't understand. Like, of all the people that I would think gets waxed regularly, it's you because you enjoy pain.
I do enjoy pain.
See?
I mean,
I don't understand.
That's like the pain of a workout. I've never been held down and just tortured repeatedly like that.
You're not being held down.
No.
Nobody's holding you down. You felt that way because you felt like, because that was the, like, you had no other choice.
Well,
like,
I couldn't get up.
Yeah, because you were crying. You saw your body go up.
Yeah.
Oh, off the table.
You levitated a few times.
It looks like Houdini up in that
shit. I was hurt deep inside.
I wasn't.
I was like, God, this, let me just tell you. You are a bigger man than I'll ever be. God bless you, sir. God bless you.
You didn't do anything.
The sound effects.
Don't let them toot your horn like that.
Oh my God.
You didn't do anything.
The sound effects of the ripping were also like just.
Yeah, you do hear some of that. The side effects were like.
Yeah. I'll never forget it.
Hearing the rip and feeling the rip at the same time just like multiplied.
No.
It was just like, again.
I won't do it again.
I don't think that it's for me, but I am glad that I did it because I appreciate women who get waxed a lot more now.
Get waxed and make you a feminist.
I am 100%. I might get my armpits waxed again because that wasn't too bad. The armpits getting waxed,
right?
I feel like that was like a nice, easy, it's like, oh no, it's all gonna feel like this.
No.
Are you eventually gonna do your legs like initially promised?
No.
I see. So you're a little bitch.
No, not because I'm a little bitch, but because the dare was...
If I say it enough, will you do it?
No.
If you what?
Bitch.
No. The dare was to get waxed.
He's a little bitch.
The dare was to get waxed.
Right.
The legs being a part of it was just because, hey, it was in there for that moment.
That would be easy, though.
Yeah.
I feel like the extra was like, you know, they put on, like, oh, that
was... Well, first of all, like, I did that... One, because Juhi pushed my buttons and I let her get to me. But then two,
you
triggered.
But then two, yes, I got triggered. But at the same time, I was like, this could be a learning experience. And
you
was.
Did learn. You
I
learned
learn.
That day.
So I learned. And we're good.
Wait, I want to bring in my epilator and see if you can handle that.
Epilator? No.
What's
no,
epilator?
Say no.
So
say
no. What is epilator?
So an epilator is like, it's like a little device that has like lots of tweezers and it rolls really fast and it like rips your hair out.
Why?
So I do that on my legs.
Why?
Huh?
Why?
Because it takes the hair to grow back longer. I mean, it takes longer for the hair to grow back.
Yeah.
And it, you feel so smooth and nice.
Why
it's so, it's, I don't think it hurts.
You're gonna owe people money in this podcast now.
I mean, if there's anything that I would try that would
I'm gonna bring it anyways and see what happens.
If there's anything that I would try that would put me in pain moving forward as an experiment or as a lesson, would probably be those machines that make guys experience pregnancy.
Oh, you know
tens
what?
Machine?
I would definitely try that.
A
I would
tens
definitely,
machine?
Yeah, whatever.
I would try that.
What are you guys?
Just
no. That I would try because honestly, like,
a podcast about injuring each other.
Mom, my bad, but I would say like I saw that a couple times. Like, you know what? I would really like to see that. Like, I would really like to see that.
I would like to experience that. That and waterboarding. I want to experience waterboarding.
Oh my God.
I've done that.
Guantanamo, here we come.
Those are the two things. But yeah, but wrapping up the waxing situation, I am smooth. I am fresh. It is clean. Up and down.
Front and back.
Front and back. Toilet paper is, toilet tissue is definitely a low cost at this moment.
Oh, wow.
I did not want to know that.
What's the wrinkles out. I went to do a number two and there was nothing to wipe after. I was like, well, that's weird.
It just slides right in. Oh, no.
She must have gotten all the hair from your colon.
Oh, she, man. Okay.
I told you she was pulling Lunchables out.
Yeah. And Ty, like, first of all, I'm pretty sure I was clean down there. But Ty, you are a special woman in my heart because no woman will ever go where you've gone.
She's so straight deep, bro.
So straight.
So wax me deep. So deep.
Yeah, no girl, no woman will ever wax me down there like she had ever again. Or man, let's just clear it. No one, period.
I'm not squelching on that bet.
Good.
So yeah. aliens, good on me.
I followed through.
Yeah, good
bitch,
job.
I'm gonna fuck that.
Mm. But now we're going into the next topic for today.
Yeah, we gotta talk about toxic people in relationships.
Yeah.
So why we're attracted to those toxic people.
Why are we attracted to toxic people?
I think it's a young person thing, though, to be honest with you. I think everybody's got experience. Well, you know what? Some people learn. Some people get repeated that lesson slapped over and over again.
So, are they toxic to begin with, or do you realize that they are, like, eventually you realize that they are toxic and you just choose to stay?
Let's describe toxicity.
Yes.
Define toxicity.
Are you
systeming
it down? They wrote a song about that. Were you there for the 90s, early thousands?
Yeah.
I was, but I'm sorry, I didn't listen to System of the Down.
I didn't listen to System of the Down until like 2010.
And to be honest with you, when I listen to System of the Down, is when I have to squat like over 300 pounds and I just ate everything in life and I'm gonna bend that bar over my back.
Yeah,
he has
to drown out all the warning bells that are going off, like your body's not supposed to do this in terms of properties.
Exactly.
What is that shit?
He's got to disrespect his surroundings.
Disrespect his surroundings.
Exactly.
So, toxic.
I will throw a face on that.
Toxic traits. What are toxic traits in men and in women?
I mean, I think it's the same, to be honest with you.
One, accusing or like, you know.
Well, we talked about that, like, you know, usually, like, if you've been in relationships where, like, you know you're the good person, but you've been accused of being cheated upon over and over and over again. Like, they're just like, you know, or they're super, super jealous.
Jealousy.
Being passive aggressive.
Passive aggressive.
Gaslighting.
Gaslighting is a great one.
And you know what? Let's just talk about. I mean, I'm not gonna talk about, like, you know, but you two had a form of toxic relationship by pushing each other's buttons.
Oh yes, we do.
That's toxicity between two people.
Though. Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, relationships. So, like, if you have that one person that knows what buttons to push, and constantly like pushes them.
Manipulation.
Yeah, manipulation.
Emotional manipulation. Ooh, emotional manipulation.
There you go.
It's a huge toxic trait.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Huge.
So now that we've established some general pillars for what toxicity would be in two people,
right?
What is it that keeps you going back? What is the one thing that wants to let you go? You look at, like, every one of us here has been at least one toxic relationship.
Let's start with Judy.
Today I'm only on my second one. And the first one was toxic as fuck.
But how long were you together with the gentleman?
For knowing them 2 years and, like, in a relationship a year.
So you were in a relationship with them for a whole year.
Mm-hmm.
And what made you stay in
a relationship? I was air quotes in love, or what I thought was love, because again, like, the whole emotional manipulation, being passive aggressive, or like just hearing things, being like, there's no other person that's gonna accept this side of me, and this person already has, just the way that things were worded, you know, like that. And being told that, oh, like, the one thing on our first date, he was like, oh, I can't believe that you've never been kissed. 27 years old, never been kissed. Don't give a fuck. Like, it's okay, people.
Lolo Jones.
Yeah. And he was like, you know what? I really want to be your first kiss because I don't want it to be some asshole guy out there. And then afterwards, I was like, well, in hindsight, you're a cunt.
That's what age. Youth is wasted on the young. The things that I knew now, I wish I could just FedEx package to my younger self.
Wisdom's not wasted on the youth, that's for damn sure.
But I think you need to kind of need to go through that. Like, you know, we need to kind of go through that to know what I mean, if we hold on to it, then it can easily become that toxic person. You know, we start treating people the way, like, you know, you have that trauma that somebody cheated on you, so you're always looking for somebody that comes into your life and they're gonna be cheating on you, something like that. So you can embellish that. I mean, you can hold on to that, but I think we all need to go through that ride a little bit to kind of say, okay, this is what I'm capable of, this is what I like, this is what I don't like. This is the traits that I see of people who are bad for me. You know?
And I realized that I like overlooked a lot of things because I was like, well, because I'd never been in a relationship before and I didn't really know what that entailed. Like, how much am I supposed to compromise? Like, how much of myself or like what I believe in am I supposed to like overlook because there's this person here who is quote unquote saying and doing the right things, but I seem to be the one that's giving up a lot. So I think it was like, I also use it as a, I don't want to say I use it as a learning experience, but like now it seems like it was a learning experience, having accepted everything that happened and what I gained from it and where I am now. But like, especially after talking to you guys and being on the podcast and listening to you guys talk about your relationships as men and how you treat women or what you've done in the past and things like that, I'm like, holy shit, like I was in hell.
Yeah.
And I thought that that was normal, or I thought that like, what was happening was okay, and it wasn't okay.
Mm-hmm.
But again, it took a lot for me to realize that and realize that it wasn't me, mm-hmm. that all of that, like, because before I was just like, oh, like, am I not worthy? Like, what is wrong with me that all of this happened? Or like, whatever happened, how it ended, like, what the fuck did I do kind of thing?
Mm-hmm.
And then after almost a year and a half, I'm like, mom, no, you were the asshole. Like, you said and did shit that was really shady. You used my lack of experience or your body count or your experience to manipulate me in a fashion to get what it is that you wanted out of it. And like,
so now
you were broken and you wanted me to fix you and then you broke me in the process.
So now moving forward, hoping that you've learned from that guy moving forward, what is one toxic trait that is an instant no for you if you end up, like, you're dating a guy and you realize that he has this toxic trait? Is there a toxic trait that you would just have to say, yo, that's a red flag, I gotta go?
Being passive aggressive, like, fucking use your words. Like, we are adults. Like, if there's something wrong,
she was so quick on that. She was ready for it. She was like, I know what it is. That's right here, right now.
No, I understand if you need to take time to think about something, you don't have a response right away or you don't want to discuss it right away, but there has to be a discussion. You have to talk about it. Like, there's no, like, I'm going to hint at something or I'm going to, like, you know, beat around the fucking bush and stuff like that. Like, no, you have a problem or you want to say something, fucking say it. I don't care how long you take to say it. I mean, a reasonable amount of time, but, like, fucking say what's on your mind. Like, say what it is that you are thinking and all that stuff. Like, don't, like, I don't know, like
what's the difference between passive aggressiveness and then tact?
But because I'm gonna say the same thing too, like, as far as passive aggressive goes, especially if I know dudes who are doing this, because I've called out my friends who are in relationships and I'm just like, yo, what the fuck? Quit being a little bitch and hold up your shit. What's the difference between passive aggressive and tact? I mean, tact is like, you know, if you say like, okay, you know what, you know, like, I know, like, when I'm in a pissed off state, I need time. I need a moment. I need to walk away.
Yeah.
And I'll let you know, like, listen, I need time. I need a moment. I need da 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 da. Or I'm going to say some shit that's not going to be right or it's not going to be accurate.
Right.
But you come back and you address it. You give a time frame and you say, and you come back and address it. That's tact. If you are just being passive aggressive, you slide it under the table. Oh, it's okay. But yet, you poke the bear, but months on down the line about, you know, like, you know, last year you said, and this is why, like, you know, we used to talk about this. I remember we talked about it in college too. Like, guys were talking about, yo, man, why does your girl always bring up, like, old shit? Like, you know what I mean? Like, either we dealt with it or we didn't.
Yeah.
You know, but, like, you know, you keep bringing up old shit. That is actually something that, I mean, you know, I still see a lot of women do nowadays too. Like, that passive aggressive about, as far as, like, if you were in a relationship, something fucked up, something bad happened or whatever, either you deal with it and move on, or you didn't deal with it and you keep poking the bear.
Is that your toxic red flag?
That's my toxic red flag. That is my toxic red flag. If you cannot communicate, I have to have open and honest communication. I know I'm not always the best at it. That's why I would say, like, you know, and even my last couple, I mean, I'm a little older now, but I would tell them, like, listen, my words, when I say something, it's what I mean. So if I say I need a break, I need a break. If I say give me 24 hours, I'm talking about 24 hours. If I say I'm done, I'm really done.
That's what I gotta work on. I gotta work on my words in a relationship, actually meaning it. Like, when I'm like, hey, need a break, hey, I'm done. Like, I'll tell myself, yo, I won't do that shit again. And then in my head, I'm like, damn, I just fucking
did it. I did that shit again.
I'm like, fuck, crazy. All right, Craig, what's your...
Me?
What's your toxic red flag? It's like, yo, you're dating a girl, boom, this red flag comes up and you gotta drop it. You gotta be like, nope.
As a person who attempts to be fine, you will make a lot of mistakes. You're gonna say some offensive shit. It's not on purpose, it's just you're trying to be funny, and you'll fuck up and say some shit, and they'll be like, what the fuck did you mean by that? And you're like, oh, whoa, that's not what I meant at all. That is not what I meant. For me, the one toxic trait is, if I say something and it's offensive, and it's going to happen, if you check me on it and I immediately tell you, I'm sorry, that's not what I meant, I take it back. If I make amends to try and, if you hold it over my head, I'm out. Because it's going to happen again in the future. All I ask is that I'm a very simple dude. I'm honest because it's the quickest route to moving on with my life. I don't lie because I have a really terrible memory and I will get fucking caught. It's not a moral thing. I'm just a lazy motherfucker. So if I tell you the truth and you look in here in my face because like, well, that's not what you meant. It came from this place. It's just like, you know what? I'm just gonna go over here now. I'm gonna go over here and you just stay the fuck there. I'm gonna go over there now.
You stay mad over here.
You stay mad over there. I'm gonna be over there.
I'm my happy place.
Relationship will explode. It's the reason why I'm single right now is because I realize that that's a toxic trait within myself where I will just simply just, I'll be like, okay, this is obviously not working. I'm just gonna go and do this. I've already told you the truth. I don't have anything else for you. I'm sorry. I will do anything I can to make this better. But if you're gonna continue to stay mad, there's nothing more that I can do. That, I guess my toxic trait, I think the toxic trait for everyone here is open and honest communication. Is just being able to say, like, this is what's happening. I saw something on TikTok where it was like, hot girl things to say for 2021. And she's literally like, she's just like, you know, what you said was really offensive and it really hurt me. I'd like if you never said it again. And it's just like, yeah, that's fair.
Yep.
That's fair. I can take that. You're like, oh,
it's like, damn.
I apologize.
Yeah.
On the path to trying to be funny, I said some fuck shit. I removed the fuck shit. I'm sorry. Here's the fuck shit I put it on the floor. Don't worry about it anymore. It's gone now.
There you go. Stu, you're up.
Yeah, no, I'm in a very similar boat to Craig because I like to think of myself as someone who likes to try to be funny. And I like to try to be funny more than this guy likes to try to be funny because he's more successful at it.
Yes, I would have to say that. I've seen Stu in action. We've all seen Stu in action.
We've all seen Stu in action.
Sometimes the comedy comes through as
it's tactless.
It's tactless. It can be kind of creepy. I'm just like Stu. Yeah. No, hold back. We're gonna have you know, we're working on your Tinder profile, stuff like that. We're gonna have like just actual lessons. You know, like in person, we're gonna work on the Stu salesmanship. How does Stu go out there and sell himself? This is gonna operate on such a different level for him. He's gonna be like, you know,
we should have a speed dating episode with Stu.
Invite
like 10 women and he gets like a couple minutes with each and they like all write a comment about like this is good, this is bad, and then we run it through. We sign people.
Oh, look at that, look at it. Everybody's pulling it up on their phone. Like, write it down.
You are very welcome.
I think that would be a great episode.
I'll take that.
Listen, yeah. And it's gonna be good. It's coming from a good place. It's gonna be good constructive criticism.
No, it's better than being waxed.
I've had the waxing episode. Juhi and me have had a co-episode where we're just drinking. We should have a Stu episode where
I think at one point everybody's gonna have
Gonna have their own episode, but it takes moments like these to figure out what each episode.
Inspiration.
Yeah. There you go, like it's inspiration. That
it
was awesome.
I think that is a great idea.
We're putting you in charge of that one. You gotta set that one up.
Okay, I will set that up.
I will assist.
Okay.
100%.
Because I don't know that many females in Florida. I don't know that many people.
I will find a
I can find a couple.
I'll find a good amount of single female girls around Stu's age, obviously. We'll keep it around the age area.
Yes.
I'll do like a picture. I'm not gonna make them be like, you know, hunchbacks. I'm gonna make sure, you know, they're
decent. I hope you don't look like a hunchback in Notre Dame.
His name is Quasimodo. Let's get it right.
I'll make sure I want Quasimodo.
We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
But wait, are we going to train him and talk to him about some of the things he says beforehand?
No,
or we're just going to let it go and then we'll work on
that's
it?
How is he going to get honest feedback if we prep people?
Okay,
right.
So let's go.
So no prep.
No prep. All right, got it.
To wrap up the toxic red flags, though.
He didn't actually really...
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, continue.
Yeah.
It's okay. I find myself in toxic situations regularly because, I don't know, since college, a lot of the girls I've ever gone after had boyfriends. Knowingly. And so I don't know if I'm toxic or if I'm finding toxic people or if it's a combination of
No, that's
two.
Definitely a toxic trait, bro. That's
I think it's a combination because if they're allowing it,
it's a combination
well,
of both, but you definitely are playing a huge
yeah.
part into it. Here's the thing. If you are talking to a girl and you are not aware she has a boyfriend, you're in the clear. Even if she has one, that's her fault, not yours.
Right.
But the moment you start messing with a girl and you are aware she has a main man
mm-hmm.
and you are content with being the side dude, you are fucking up, buddy.
You're fucking up big time.
You're
now,
fucking up, buddy.
Let me ask you this. Let me ask you this. As far as that goes, are you a...
Bottom.
Oh my God.
Damn, right?
I'm so sorry.
I'm just trying to frame this
That
right.
was offensive to me.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, I'm poor.
Are you in this?
Are you,
when you find these women who are in these relationships that aren't happy or whatever, because usually
yeah.
women cheat, or actually everybody cheats when they're in a relationship that they're not happy with,
mm-hmm.
whatever. Are you trying to help them? Or are you trying to help yourself?
Combination, I guess. Because when I go looking and that's the direction I end up finding, and like, they're good looking, and I feel like narcissistically I'm a little good looking. I don't want to like go overboard, but I, when it comes down to it, at the same time, I'd like to think that I'm assisting them on their way out of a relationship that's bad, so they know that they also, hey, I've got a lot of great attributes. I can go find whatever I want.
So you're in this, and I speak it from. Facts that I think we have that in common. You're in this to help them.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not just trying to help myself at that point because, like,
right.
the girls that I've hooked up with that had boyfriends, they were like, oh, my boyfriend's cheating on me. I'd like to get him back. And I was like, that's fine. Or they were like in a situation where, like, oh, I feel abused or whatnot. And they're having a horrible time. They feel like they're not really enjoying their relationship. They're open about it. And I feel like I'm their segue out.
I think it's
so,
one of two things.
Uh-huh. I was going to say that.
I think you either, A, talk to these girls as a friend and you're trying to give them advice, but at the same time, you're more than willing to smash if they are. And that makes you feel okay about it because it's more like you're trying to give them advice, but also at the same time, you just want to wet your beak a little bit for some profit. Or two, you already have intentions of having sex with them, and to make yourself feel better, you're kind of like guiding them out that relationship because you know that relationship's not for them,
yeah.
but you'll just smash them in the meantime.
But hold on too, like, if they were to like, say that you're in a relationship, you hook up with this girl or whatever, whatever, say they break up with their boyfriend and they want to hook up with you, are you like into that, or are you just kind of like, you know,
into
you're-
that. I've been with girls that I wasn't into because they were more interested and like, it was a different kind of situation. But when it comes to these girls who are trying to get out of relationships that I find like super attractive on like a intellectual level and on a physical level, then I mean, if they segue to me, I'm very open about that. I'm
uh-huh.
very open to it because I had a girlfriend like that back in college. She was like super smart, anthropology major, super sexy from like head to toe. And then, I mean, we were all just in similar boats. When you're in college, you're just more open about open relationships and kinds of things. So now it's been lesser like that. It's not like a an open relationship kind of thing that I'm looking for necessarily right now. So trying to like change these old habits has been very interesting because you fall into these, I don't want to call them bad habits, I'm just going to call them habits. You fall into these habits of one kind of relationship and then you're just like, fuck this shit. I feel lonely because you still feel lonely.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And then you want someone who's like, yours, not like yours, like you own them or possessive or anything, but you want someone who's on that same wave like that as you. You want to feel like, oh, this person and I, we can grow together as opposed to like growing apart or growing in different ways. Like, and if you grow in different ways, that's cool as long as you're growing together. But most of the time, that's not the situation. Someone's either trying to catch up or they're trying to like, they're in a place that you once were and you're not trying to look back then, you know?
Interesting.
See, I mean, I had two things like Rick did, as far as like, you know, you're in this for two different reasons. Mine's were a little bit different though. I mean, I kind of like yours too, but I was like, you know, on a deeper level, like what is it that you, what happened to you or where, how did it become to that point where you feel that it's, you know, you take on this role of empowering women? Like what happened to you when you're younger or what did you see or whatever, whatever that makes you feel like you have to go into these situations, scenarios to one, empower women to be probably like, you know, show them that they're great, they're wonderful, they're beautiful, they're sexy, and these guys are treating you right. And why do you get satisfaction out of that?
I don't know. I think it's
like helping.
I come from like a really dysfunctional family. And so because of that,
we all
I feel like I had to hang out with very functional families.
No, I think it's not really dysfunctional. My family's
very
good.
Your family's functional?
No, I mean, they're like, they're sort of like a...
Craig, I know your family.
Yeah, you know my family.
Because we're the same family.
Family.
Yeah. You better say...
My family does not listen to this, first of all.
Yeah.
Yo, Mrs. Stu, we love you.
Yes.
You got a great
Mrs.
son.
Mrs. Stu. Yeah, no, my family does, like, monthly Zoom and all that, like...
But no, like I feel like the empowerment of women when I was in college and I was really, because that's where I like really started my whole like gaming life, if you know what I'm saying.
Your what?
Gaming life.
That's
okay.
Where I like started the game.
Okay.
And now I'm trying to like go from game to actually find something real, which is very hard in your 30s. Let me tell
it's
you.
It's all a game anyway. It's still a
if
game.
If it's still all a game, and then I guess I'm definitely in the race still.
Yeah. Just play like a game, bro.
Then I'm gonna keep falling into bad habits.
Play like a game, but you have morals.
Right, right. I'm learning that right now. Morals is something I'm trying to actively engage in.
Dating is a game.
Right.
That is.
But I was using the game more for hooking up at the time. So to find this game more for dating and more for finding someone to fill a need and feeling like, oh, there's a real relationship here, it feels like a different kind of game. Like, you know what I'm saying? I feel like the game to just sleep with somebody is differently than the game to actually appreciate someone's person altogether. Because there's more that goes into it. I feel like you really want to wine and dine somebody. You really want to get to know who they are. Because when you get to know somebody, and they're not exactly what you thought they were, or they didn't have the skills that you're looking for. Like, I like looking for girls who went to college for many, many good reasons. Not saying that girls who go to higher learning, they're not worth my time or anything, because there's some really smart and astounding women who don't go to school for higher learning, whether it's vocational, military, college, whatever it is. But there's certain qualities that I look for, and when some girls aren't coming from this higher education background, like they're not coming from where education is really instilled, it's a little harder to really feel like, oh, you know what, I'm not getting something that I really, really need, or I really want. There's something that I want that I don't get most of the time from people.
I'm realizing something with you.
Hmm.
You're not long-winded because you talk a lot. You're long-winded because you say things and then you feel the need to explain
them.
It so you don't sound bad. I want to let you know, you don't have to explain it. It still sounds bad.
I don't think that's a bad thing. How is having a preference bad?
No. Having a preference isn't bad. The fact that he feels the need to explain it so it doesn't sound as bad as it sounded is, you don't. Like, the moment you said it, you were like, oh, like, I like girls, like, I'm into girls that go to college. And then you're like, not that I'm saying that it's bad, because there's plenty. I'm like, oh, he has to explain it now because it sounds like a douchebag when he says it just like that.
Right.
That's actually accurate.
Yeah. I was like, wait,
that's
accurate.
You don't have
tact. A lot of my friends let me know that I have no tact. And it's very true, I have no tact. And like, Craig, sometimes I just gotta apologize and say, fuck, I said something stupid.
I was just saying,
apologize. I'm hoping that people can accept my apology, because if they say, don't do shit like that, I won't do shit
just
like that.
What I'm saying
is that it's when you go to further explain it, it makes it sound bad. It's literally like, okay, hey, what's up, man? That jacket looks really good on you. No homo. Now it's weird. It's just like,
oh,
I have to say no homo.
I hate
what?
When guys
what?
Do that.
So it's like, no, now
it's weird. It's just like, what? Do you think he's sexy every other time? What's going on, bro? Do you have some secret feelings? That's weird.
If
you don't have to explain.
Just left it with, yeah, I'm attracted to girls that go to college.
Okay.
Well, yeah. That's fine. That's
then,
fine. It's okay to have a preference.
But then you started going down the rabbit hole, and I was like, now it sounds bad.
That was in the day. Don't do that on the date.
So,
yeah.
Thank you for some advice. I need this before the stew episode.
Yes, I do. your serious version without the explanation versus your comedic version, air quotes, your intellectual version is a lot. Not you!
This could be the version, not your.
Not me, you go, hey.
I'm working on it.
You're working, and that's fine. Like, you know, everybody's a work in progress. But I think that you should, like, present that more because it makes. There's a better understanding of who you are as a person when you speak what it is that you like or, like, in your intellectual manner versus you trying to relate in a comedic manner. Because, like they said, sometimes it comes off creepy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you don't want that on your you know, your speed dating thing. Like, you want them to know exactly like this, right? Without the explanation again. Like, you want them to know that because that's what's going to make them realize, okay, this is who he is as a person kind of thing. Versus comedy, it's like, oh, this is who he's trying to be as a person.
Right. That's big. Wow.
Woo. That's actually
damn funny. Golf clap, golf clap.
That's really good. That's a masterclass.
That is a masterclass.
Summarize it. More summarizing, be quick with it, and you can move on to the next.
Yeah.
I think it's I don't know, I just spent a lot of time on TikTok. There's good shit out there. There's a lot of good shit out there.
Yeah, Craig has recently discovered TikTok because all
it's amazing. Guys, oh my God. God. Send me a TikTok message at like 7 a.m. and I'm like,
because you'll see some, hold on, he sends me some shit.
Oh yeah, I sent you some crap.
The reality of God.
It's freaking great.
It's right. 6:12 a.m.
I
didn't know there was a 6:12 a.m.
You know what? I think. But I can't be in charge of it. Craig, you should set up a D-Squad TikTok.
You be in charge of that.
I can't handle it much more.
I'm trying to get rid of all my social media right now because I'm kind of over it.
I feel like that's okay. I understand.
That's okay.
I don't want to deal with social media anymore.
I understand. Yeah. It's a lot. It's a lot going on. But back to toxic and toxic traits. And what we got going on. So being that we all have had our little bouts of toxic relationships, what is our own toxic traits? Mm. I mean, Stu went through his.
Yes.
He went through his toxic trait. Craig kind of touched on his a little bit. I'm in like Stu's camp. Like, one of the things I have to realize I had to check myself about is trying to save.
Trying to save.
Yes. Same thing. Save the person. Like, I will see people in a relationship or and they're just having a bad run at life. And I'm just like, this is a beautiful... I love empowering people. I love empowering women even more for some reason. Maybe that's why I'm into personal training and fitness and self-defense and helping people like really actualize their dreams. I think that's my calling, but I tend to internalize that, or I have. It took me, you know, my friends used to call me, you're just being a superhero. Yeah.
Captain
Save-A-Ho. No, not even Save-A-Ho. So it's just like, but here's the thing, like,
I came in the closet, bro. It's all good.
Yeah,
it's all right. It's deep back there, but it's there, man. I understand.
Yeah, but I would, you know, like get them, and I'm like, you know, early on it would be like, fix them up, blah blah blah. They're great. Now they can stand on their own 2 feet. Okay, I gotta go. Bye.
That is
my interest. My interest obviously just falls away at that point in time, and that's something I have to really, like, you know, within the last like
toxic masculinity, because that's all that is. No, anybody just going, I have to save her.
But it's like deep down, like, I don't realize it at first. I'm just like, okay, like, you know, this is a really beautiful person. They're just down on themselves, da da da. And I'll work on, you know, build them up. So I have to really, like, now it's like I really check and say, like, okay, am I in this relationship to help? It's like, really, am I in this relationship to help them? Or is it, I'm in this relationship to kind of like better myself? Two different things. Like, if I'm in it to help them, that's why I'm trying to save them and say like, okay, you're this, you're that, you're beautiful, you're wonderful, blah, 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 blah. If I'm in it to help myself, I'm looking for a partner that can ride along with me. I'm not doing this to make them better. I'm in this to not just make myself better, but to, as a couple, we're gonna grow together. We're gonna make this happen on a grander scale. You know, when you focus all of your attention on helping and fixing that one person, you're actually reinforcing a lot of the things that you're trying to fix. Mm-hmm. That's what I had to realize about myself. That was something that one of my traits that I have to like realize, my toxic trait, that it can be good, but it really doesn't help that person in the long run.
Dang.
Bing, 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 bing.
No, it's weird because like literally I'm riding almost the same wave. Like, I understand what my time, it would even be a trait, or would it just be like just a line of thinking? Like, my toxic trait is that I am I have Captain Save-A-Ho. I got a Captain Save-A-Ho cape in my closet, hands down. Like, when I see that there's a girl that just beats herself down mentally because she's been in a bad relationship, or she's like, she just thinks she's damaged goods.
Yeah.
Some reason in my head, I don't know why.
Yep.
I think to myself, I can fix that.
Yeah.
And that becomes my project. And next thing you know, I'm spending time with them. I'm dedicating time out of my day to them. I'm trying to make sure they get back to where they need to be. If they're like not financially stable, I show them tips and tricks to be financially stable. If they're trying to go to school, you know, I try to make sure that they're like, they're sticking to them, like, trying to go to school. If they need to stay out the bars and stop drinking, I'm trying to like spend time with them outside of the bars and outside of drinking, and then just making sure they're good. Here's the problem, and I can't peel myself away from it. When I'm doing this, two thoughts cross my mind. One, man, if this girl actually does get her shit together, she would be a really awesome person to be in a relationship with. And then two, if it's not that, it's, hey, you know, just get them back to point A, point B, but then I drop off attention-wise. That's one of my toxic traits, is that when I am starting to like somebody and I am in a relationship, I'll spend weeks and weeks and weeks hanging out with you. Once you realize that you're in my life, you're good, I stop paying attention to you. That's my problem.
Yeah.
I stop paying attention.
You push the canoe off the island, like, all right,
yep.
Start paddling.
Is it because you feel like there's no use for you in the relationship anymore?
No.
There's no use.
No, not because of the use. It's more like, it's okay, so.
You get a satisfaction. Like, if you know you help somebody,
right.
Even if you don't get any credit for whatever, you get a satisfaction. You're just right. Like, damn. I did a good thing. Nobody else has to know, but in yourself, you feel like
I did a good thing. Like, it's crazy.
But you also kind of realize too that you really aren't needed, and in a sense, for guys, you know, we want to always be, or not wanted, I guess, not so much needed, but you know, you're not wanted anymore in that sense. Like, okay, they got everything together. My role in this relationship has really ended.
So yeah, so you feel no use.
Yeah,
I mean.
I guess, like, you're maybe
like,
self-predicting.
Or need,
right?
I guess need
not,
is a better word.
Yeah, not use, more like need. Like, I did everything I needed to do
mm-hmm.
to get her back up to, she feels great about herself,
mm-hmm.
she's on the right track, she's making things happen. I don't have to give her that much attention anymore. But the problem is, they were used to attention, Rick.
That's the thing, like, you're making that decision for them. How do you know that they don't have a need for you anymore? Like, you are making that decision for both of you to remove yourself. It's not like, oh, I'm assuming that she no longer needs me or
insert
whatever.
It's a toxic trait.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Yes.
That's my problem.
That's
my problem.
That's the misogyny in you making the decision
for
her.
For some reason, I like girls with baggage. And literally, I just had a, if you guys ever get like flashbacks on Facebook, whenever you post something
yeah.
or make a picture, there was one that was 9 years ago, and my old roommate, her name is Courtney Evans.
Hi, Courtney.
What's up,
Courtney?
Sometimes we would have conversations, and depending on something we say, I would post it on Facebook. Like, it would just be like a quote or a line from the conversation. I'm at the bar. This is like last week. I'm at the bar. I'm chilling. And I look at my Facebook, and it's a quote that me and her had. I'm at the bar with a girl, and I bust out laughing. She's like, what? And I was like, 9 years ago, my roommate told me, you know what, Rick? You really need to stop going after girls who have a ton of baggage, don't have their life together, have kids, and just terrible baby daddies, and feel like you need to fix them all the time. And literally, the girl at the bar was like, that's me. And I was like, I know. I said it. I was like, I know.
Hacked, man.
Listen, he had to realize, like, listen, that is why, like, he had to address his toxic trait that same moment. You know, it's hard. It is hard.
Yeah.
Like, it's hard. What did she say?
She was like, that's why you like me. And I was like, yes. I was like, I like toxic women. Like, I like, to me, that's a toxic woman for me. Someone that, like, is definitely, like, baggage, all this shit going on, all this drama. For me, that's toxicity. I should not be him. I should not be with him. But I can't help it for some reason. It's weird.
Hold up. So let me talk. Because, you know, I've went through all that. I've, you know, not to say like I've got it down packed or whatever.
Yeah.
The hardest thing for
me
in these kind of relationships is to basically sit on your hands and think about what it is that you, you know, that level that you were trying to get that person to or whatever. Sit on your hands and watch them do it on their own. You can give advice, but you got to sit back and just watch. And to me, that's the, like, current relationship, that's one of the sexiest things about it, is that strong, independent, handles her shit. Yes, she does have kids, but she is on point.
Mm.
And it's like, it's hard to say, like, you know, I'm like, yo, if you need help, let me know. And when she doesn't ask for help and she's handling it, like, part of me has to be like, you know, I have to take that gut check, be like, she doesn't need me. But at the same time, I have to check, step back and be like, that's what you want. That's what you really do want. You want somebody that, and in my head I said, you know what? I would like to be in a relationship with someone that, if worse comes to worse, say I become incapacitated, we build this life together and I become incapacitated, that they can handle it and keep it moving.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like, yes. And that, like, right now, yes, that's like,
homegirl,
yes, it is. So step back. I'm sitting on my hands a lot. There's a lot of hands sitting, like, a
lot of hands sitting.
Will she wipe your ass if you aren't potty?
If it's
hold on.
If it's wet.
No, no, not even. Yeah. Not wet at all.
If it's hairy like a Wookiee.
Listen. The fact that you guys could hold a Wookiee call is disturbing. I mean, for me, I could think definitely with my current one, yes. I would say definitely she could chew it. I wouldn't like it. I'll probably fight against it. No, no. But anyway.
There is no fighting.
Yeah, there's no fighting. I just got to accept it and just move on, you know?
Now, I have a really, really good friend. I'm not going to say her name. I love her very much. Her, what she'll do, every once in a while, I'll get a call. And she'll ask, hey, what's going on? How are you doing? What's going on in your life? And she's asked, she wants to help me with whatever. I mean, maybe I posted something weird. And she's like, hey man, are you having a bad day or something like that? But I know her.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times that she'll reach out, when she's reaching out like that, it's because she's trying to distract herself away from something that she's dealing with herself.
Right.
Now, for men who are going out to put on their cape to go to rescue these women.
Yep.
Is it that you want to rescue them, or is there something going on deep inside of you that you are distracting yourself away from by handling her problem?
Oh yeah.
Yes.
Big time.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Big time.
Focus on some ego.
Yeah.
Look at somebody and go, you need help, means that you see yourself in a better position than they are.
Well, I'm not gonna say like
you
actually. I don't know about Rick. I know about me. It's like I don't actually look at them and be like, I can help that person.
Yeah.
You just feel like, you know what? Let me just show this person that there's a better side to life.
Yes.
I'm not.
It does require that you have a better opinion of yourself and what you're doing than what they are and what they're doing. To look at somebody and say, you need my help, means that you see that you have the tools necessary to assist them where they're lacking.
That's not because like, oh, I feel like I'm in a better position than them.
Right.
It could be more of, I've been through that.
Okay, that's good.
It's like, cause-
Still a great.
And that's
it is.
For me,
yeah.
No, for me, I'll talk to somebody and they'll be in a position. They'll tell me their story and everything like that. And literally in my head, I'm like, I've been there. Like,
I've been there. I know what that is.
I'll give my 2 cents. I'll give my advice. You know, maybe we hang out after that. Maybe we don't. But like, I'm like, yo, like,
that's so.
I'll tell you what's up.
That's so.
Yep.
Straight up. But on the is there other stuff going on with you? I definitely do that as well. If I have something, if I have things going on in my life, there's like an old saying that. Sometimes the best way to deal or solve your problems is to help someone else with the things that they're going through. So I believe in that. I'm like, hey, you know what? Instead of me just boiling and stewing over things that are going on with me, oh, there's somebody else that needs help. Let me help them. And then that might help bring me along to my way to solving my own issues.
You said it might help, but a lot of times, and I've noticed this was a characteristic of me being in the younger self, I wouldn't. I would focus on them, help them out, and put my problems to the side because it was easier. Yeah, it was easier to ignore it.
And then once you get to helping them, your problems were still there.
Exactly. So you really got to address like, okay, if I'm helping them, like how am I helping myself out? This is why I said like, you know, with the current relationship, it's like, you know, I had to look at what do I need to work on for myself, bring that along, work on that, and they're okay with me working on that while they work on their things. And you know what? Every once in a while, we get together and like help each other out in that sense. But it's not like a definite focus on fixing her and like throwing my problems to the side or vice versa. You know, we both are. It's that true sense of now like coming up together and not just, you know, one person, you know, starting at two different levels.
Yeah.
I think we start at the same level. We both have problems. They may be in different stages, but we both have issues and things that we're working on together and not one focus on more of the other.
I have a question for Rick. How is it not emotionally taxing being Captain Sabahoe? Like, what is it that you do? How is it that you are able to give yourself emotionally, mentally, physically, whatever, to different people over and over again within that same capacity? You're trying to hold that same capacity.
How is it not? It is taxing. Like,
then why do you choose to do it?
It's toxic training.
I get it.
You know what's funny? It's like, I don't know what it is. Something in my head, for for some reason, just somebody's going through some shit. Like, yo, like, I want to help you out. I can be drained. I can be, like, just emotionally and physically drained. I'm like, yo, you're going through some shit. Like, I'm going to help you out. And, like, I have ways to, you know, for me to be stress-free.
Okay.
So because I go back to my
thing. So wellness is a thing.
Yes, wellness is a thing. Like, I have to, like, you know, I might go do whatever. I might go drink, or I might go play video games, or I might just go do, like a actual interactive activity. I might build something, whatever. I might read. Like, I have a ton of, like, I'm a jack of all trades. So there's a lot of things I can do to release stress and to, like, help bring myself back together. And I'll do it solo. I do have those moments where people call me and hit me up and I just won't answer. And that's just me recharging.
Yep.
Okay, so you do take care of yourself.
Yes,
still.
I will recharge myself because I do know that I will help people over and over and over and over, and I'll get to that breaking point. I'll get to that toxic point of, yo, I need to, like, break away. And people will contact me, and it'll be days. And they're like, has anybody seen Rick? And then I'll come back all smiles and, hey, guys, how's it going? Like,
time to take another home.
Good, what's up? Chill, how's your day? Good.
Awesome. It's just been 2 weeks.
Yeah, it's like, yo, where have you been? I'm like, And literally in my head, I'm like fucking eating ice cream in the fucking bed, playing video games. I fucking ran just to fucking run, did some workouts. Like,
this was when COVID first came out. Rick disappeared for like straight up 2 months. Like, yo, what the fuck you doing?
Yeah, like, yo, where's Rick?
I was like, listen. Rick was in it to win it. You know, Fight Camp was coming to the end. Like, we saw this dude like every day, blah, blah, blah. You know?
Yo, hey, bye, deuces. Yeah, oh yeah, that
he
last
ghosted.
Fight Camp,
yeah,
I
he
was
ghosted.
I think we'll sign him starting probably every single day.
Yep, pretty much.
That's why I kept every single day. And then all of a sudden, it was over, everything was done. I was helping people out, like, with multiple things, and I was like, yo, I need to recharge. I am taxed. Boom.
So COVID was perfect for you.
Yep.
And oh my God, COVID is.
So questions. When you're work, because I noticed that Captain Save a Ho seems to be in a lot of us.
Yeah, because we grew up on, you know, Disney movies. Hero movies and anime.
Okay.
Whoa, that is deep. Yes. Because, no, you do it.
Captain Save-A-Ho.
No, you always see that prince. You know, the prince that comes in to save the
damsel.
So after we're Captain Save-A-Ho, and then we become Captain Slave-A-Ho. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, because we get ours too. Do you stick it out? Do you stay in a relationship with them or something?
That's what I had asked you earlier. Like, if you help them out, they're in this terrible relationship, all of a sudden they see their light, they say that, you know what, I'm a true goddess, I'm da-da-da, I'm stepping away from this dude. Boom. Stu, you made me feel good. You're the man. Do you stay in a relationship and be like, yeah,
so, like,
we're good.
So I was wondering, like, do you guys stick it out for probably longer than I do? Like, if I find someone, I play Captain Save-A-Ho, and no longer am I either physically or cognitively attracted to them, like, I'm like, bye, Felicia. I want to know about you guys. Like, do you stick it out longer than just that moment where you're like, I don't think this is going to work?
He doesn't. And
no.
He said he...
Well, hold on. Like... But stick it out as in dating? No.
Like
dating or you keep on, like, doing the do with them, you know what I'm saying?
So I don't actually do a lot of relationships. I'm more of,
Conditional.
Yeah, I think that's the best way to put it, conditional. So even if I do get done playing the Captain Save-A-Ho phase, I'm still friends with the person. You know, we still hang out, we might still, you know, chill. Like that, and you know, they, you know, hopefully they find their inner peace and things like that, and they're doing their thing, and I'm doing my thing. But I stay friends with anybody. That there's only 3 people in the world that I've had sex with or physical with that I don't talk to anymore. That's 3. I'm not gonna say my number, but it's my number's older than me, so if we only have 3 people.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's like, oh, bro, goddamn.
My number's still older than me, too.
Because we're both friends. Okay, here's the thing.
It's gonna take me some years.
I
got a couple of decades.
But I do it for them.
Whatever tickles your fancy, but like.
A lot.
Whenever I talk to them on Facebook or Instagram or see them at their jobs or whatever, like. I'm still friends with him, so I definitely hang in there, because when I was playing Captain Save-A-Ho, I wasn't, yeah, then the back of my head, I might be like, hey, this is a really cool person to be in a relationship with. But at the end of the day, I still want to make sure you're good.
What do you mean was?
You said when I was playing. It seems like it's a very current where I am currently.
No.
Weren't you at a bar with the K-pop like 2 weeks ago, bro? Your shit is pressed.
Honey, where's my
life? Where's my super suit?
You don't even have to say honey. You know, like,
where's my super suit? It's right there on the couch.
Right, exactly.
Ready to go, bro. All right,
so. So it wasn't a week ago. It was like 3 weeks ago. So after, before we were bringing this up, mm-hmm. I told myself that I'm gonna work on that. So one of my things to work on for me going into this year, not that years really mean anything as far as like, you know, landmarks, but I feel like I'm gonna start a habit, start whenever. I am going to keep that cape in the closet for as long as I can. I am going to try to find somebody who isn't down in the dumps that I feel like I need to save. Mm-hmm. But they can still keep all the other shit, you know. They can still be sassy and fucking aggressive and shit like that.
Bro, this is, I'm going from one Captain Save-O to another.
Right.
Burn a cape.
Just burn it.
Burn a cape. Like, listen, you really do have to step back. You have to sit on your hands, you have to staple your mouth closed, and you have to be like, you know what? I gotta see what you are going to do. I really do have to see. And if you wanna be turned on by a woman, watch them work. They're capable of doing it. Just watch them. You gotta step back and be like,
do you wanna be happy like this man right here?
Yeah, you really do. And it's hard. This is gonna be a test for yourself. Probably not as hard as waxing. No, it's probably harder than waxing. But yeah, being able to control yourself, and you really have to think about what you're gonna say before you say it, and holding back. So, you know, and it's just like, damn.
Let me offer an alternative. I work in technical support. I've been doing this for like 20 years.
Okay.
And when I first started doing this,
10 minutes.
Every time someone would call me, they call me, I get 90 calls a day from people who just need to reset their email passwords. It's beyond annoying, and you can very quickly go, I hate having to deal with these people who I feel should know this simple shit already. And I started getting very arrogant. And people could hear it in my voice, they're like, man, he fixed my problem, but he's super arrogant.
He's a pain in his fucking ass.
Fucking pain in my ass, he's an asshole. Mm-hmm. I started getting a stack of complaints from people. I told my father, but like he could hear me working one day, and he was like, you're really mean on the phone. Like, what's going on here? I was like, do you keep calling me for this dumb shit? I get like 40-50 calls a day for this. And he was like, Craig, you gotta understand something. Like, even though it's something that could be considerably small for you, there are things in your own life that you need help with, and this problem, while it is small for you, it has stopped their day. It's just like, you still have so much room to grow, and so do they. And it's one of the most important things that he's ever told me. And ever since that day, I apply that to my life, and now I manage technical support for a $1 billion company from my bedroom.
Subtle flex.
It's a little flex.
It's a subtle flex.
It's a flex for my dad, because the only reason why I got that job, the only reason why I got off of that position was because I took that to heart, and instead of just, like, okay, I'm in a better position to help them, to reach out. And like, with all my immense tech knowledge, here, oh lowly peasant, here is your password reset. I began to look at it like, I'm still growing. And even though this problem might not be a huge problem for me or in general, it's something that they're struggling with. So while I'm fixing myself, if they come to me for help, I offer them that help, but it doesn't contribute to my ego. I'm not saving them. I'm literally like, hey, I'm moving along. I see you stop on the road. Here's a can of gas. Come drive with me, and then you go on together. You can still keep your cape, but that it's no longer your ego that goes, I'm going to go and help this person. It's, I'm in the position where I have something for you. Here, come with me. And you
I do like that. But the one thing that you said, and I think you're gonna have to take this to heart too, is you're gonna have to wait for them to ask for that help. You can't just step in.
That's that.
Take that from me.
Instead of just offering straight up.
Yes, like, you're gonna have to step back and you're gonna have to wait, which is why you have to sit on your hands and be like,
luckily for me, I have a phone. They have to fucking call me, but you're gonna have to look for more subtle things.
Damn.
Because asking for help from anybody, man or woman, is a big hit on your own ego. Because when you say, I need help, you're admitting I don't have what it takes to fix whatever this is.
I have to say, for my uncle giving that advice, damn, that was good, because this is one who, you know, was Mr. Multi-Level Marketing from like day one.
Oh, man.
Yeah,
so,
man.
Yeah,
give him a good one.
Everybody's been through one.
Yeah, right?
But yeah, bro. That's, so you don't have to burn your cake. You can still be someone's hero.
Well, I mean, you know, like, I'm understanding, like, my toxic traits, and I'm understanding trying to, like, better them so that, you know, I can, like, not be that person, yeah. You know? And again,
it is a toxic trait.
Here it is.
Something that's real.
It is. But, you know, you have to become your own hero.
Never.
You have to become. Joe Rogan said it. You have to be. You have to.
We know.
Why? Oh, yeah, okay. We'll get to that in the next, like, 5 minutes. We got 5 more minutes. No, everybody needs to know what.
No. What is my toxic trait? Tell me about me.
Hold on. Stop being toxic trait. You're easily, your buttons are easily pushed.
That is true.
You are triggered.
No, my toxic trait is self-deprecation and then being like, I am not, like, this person is offering me help. I'm not going to accept it because I'm going to be a burden on them. So that is just me, like, not accepting people for their real intentions, or just always thinking that there's an ulterior motive, because why would someone want to help me? Or why would somebody want to be nice to me? What is it that I, like, or what is it that I have to do in order to reciprocate that you have been nice to me? That's not something that I would do, and, like, that's not what I want people to expect of me, but that is what I just automatically categorize people in. Like, they are helping me because there is a purpose for that, not because that's who they are as a person. So self-deprecation, which leads to me being like, there's something else is happening here. Like, I hate, and then I also hate just like you said, like, asking people for help and all that stuff. But I think that part is common. I think everybody has trouble accepting that they need help or that they want to reach out. But I just always oftentimes assume me sharing anything or me asking for help is placing an unwanted burden on somebody else.
Like,
so
that.
I just don't.
That's a toxic ass trait.
That, I mean, but I, we I just said, like, you know, this. We were talking about how, like, you know, as far as guys trying to help, being our way out is to sit back and wait for somebody to ask for help. And for women who are in that situation, and men too, I guess, you know, it goes both ways, because you have women who are out there just to save men, you know, have that same tactic. And men and women in that, on the other side, need to realize, like, you know, asking for help is not a bad thing. But you gotta be picky about the things, and think about the thing that you actually need help with, and not asking for help for everything. Like, fix this. I think we've all seen people out there who are like that, who, yeah, and, you know, the welfare, not to say like you're initially on welfare or whatever, but I trade them as people being on welfare because they seem to need help with fucking everything. It's like, oh my God, I can't tie my shoes. You're a 37-year-old woman. How could you not know how to tie your damn shoes? Just saying.
I just told you, I do 30 password resets a fucking day. I don't even get your password. It's your son's name. Are you fucking kidding me? But you stop and you go, this is something that, for whatever reason, they're struggling. I have my own struggles,
mm-hmm.
personal. But when people hear them, they go, you can do better than that. Right? They don't understand what I'm struggling with. So it's just like, okay. We'll do this together.
It's so funny, the yin and the yang.
All I know is that nobody's gonna be leaving here with their shoelaces undone, because Osai will snap at you.
I was.
You're a motherfucker who don't know how to tie
your
shoes.
Glad I'm not a 37-year-old woman.
You better get some Velcro, damn it.
Right? On deck, bro.
Get them sketches with no laces.
No, but yeah. You know, one of the things that come out, like I said, for me coming out of it is just like, you can't cure or fix or solve everything. You really do have to turn it within yourself. For me, it's really focusing down and stop putting other people's problems in front of mine. Because if I do that, I will never get to the next level of where I'm trying to go to. And the only reason one of the main reasons I hold myself back is focusing on fixing or helping other people or doing things for them.
Gotcha.
And if you bring that attention back to yourself, like I said, you become your own hero in a sense. And I say you can, the part of it too is being able to ask for help too. Realize and put your ego to the side and be like, you know what? I can't figure this part out. I do need help. This scares me. I need someone who can help me out with this, you know. But we have to become our own heroes in that sense, as far as, like, you know, me, Rick, Stu, in some essence, Craig, you know. Focus on ourselves and try to, like, build ourselves up. And then you're gonna, once you create that vibe or that energy, you're gonna pull someone in that's gonna be on a same wavelength as far as that growth together, instead of, like, one goes up and the other one stays in place.
And I think when it comes down to like personal growth, like even like what you were saying, Juhi, you were saying stuff about self-deprecation. I think the sense of affirmation that people should have for themselves is something that even I struggle with that, like telling yourself, oh, you are good or you're awesome or whatever it is. It's really nice to hear affirmations from others to not feel like we're being self-deprecating. You know what I'm saying? And I feel like the world doesn't really lend itself to be affirmative or affirming to our positive traits as much as we are to letting people know about the negative traits that they have. Like, we're easily talking about our toxicities. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to the things that we are really good at, that is stuff that we kind of throw to the wayside. And I think that's really wild because I know that affirmation is something like I look for too in people, especially in a relationship. I love affirmations, whether it's from my friends or from girlfriends or relationships or people I'm starting relationships with. Affirmation is very nice.
That's interesting.
That's funny.
I did the love language thing, and my last thing is words of affirmation. My first thing is quality time.
Mm. My love language is definitely time.
Yeah.
Time is the most important thing to me. But I was going to say, too, funny thing about stats, too, because my current relationship, we literally sat down and we started off, you know, the whole lovey-dovey thing, da-da-da. We had a serious conversation about, this is why you should not mess with me. We both had that conversation as far as, we are fucked up. And this is why you shouldn't like me. And she was, this is why you shouldn't like me. And da 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 da. And once we worked all that out, you know, it's cool.
Interesting.
It was.
I think it's good to know that everybody's kind of fucked up.
It is.
Yes. Oh, no. That's what
everybody is fucked up.
Everyone's fucked up.
Yeah.
Right. No.
It's just realizing what that fucked up.
No, social media does not do that. Social media hides it.
Hides it.
No, it hides it. Because everybody on social media.
Yeah, I'm putting on a happy face.
Yeah, everybody's on their best self. You know, you don't take a social media post of yourself crying because you just got dumped.
No.
You know, most people put, you know what? Fuck that dude, I'm good without him. Fuck that girl, I'm good without her. This is me making a bank account,
I'm on the side where I see a whole bunch of people like, man, nobody was there to look out for me.
That's
wrong. It's the last time I asked for help. Thanks for everybody who didn't answer my phone call.
I think you need a balance. I think you need that balance. You need to show the good side and the bad side of it. You know?
I definitely get that on my side. I'm not responding to that because I don't respond to that. Listen, we all don't on social media, but in real life you do. I'm like, yo, I can help you.
That's how it gets triggered. That's the trigger point. Come here, girl. Come here. Let me help you out. Let me show you how to fix that about yourself.
Yeah, we're comparing a lot of the highlight reels of others to our B-rolls, you know? Like, everybody's, for the most part that I see, they post their highlights, and we're all comparing it to the other bullshit that we're all going through. So, I mean, I hate social media. Fuck that shit.
When we do your episode, we are definitely going to bring up balancing self-awareness with self-confidence and show the balance between the two and just how attractive that is. Anytime you see a woman and she's with a busted-ass dude, and you're like, dude, how are they together? It's because there's a balance. But we'll talk about that. We're going to get into that.
So, are we doing this next week or should we give it a 2 week?
No, I need time.
You got to need time. We're going to need time to set this up. Yeah, we definitely need time to set this up.
We
got to
do it.
I don't think we should do 10. I think if we do like 5.
I think 5 is good.
Yeah, 5 is good. And, yeah, it's going
to
be a fun time still.
I don't know if anybody would be down.
So it's like 5 minutes. It's speed dance, so 5 minutes.
Yeah.
We got it. We'll do that.
And then afterwards, like, we'll have that at the beginning, and then so that'll be like half an hour, you know,
right,
setting everything up. And the last half an hour, we can discuss.
Right, I'm with that.
I'm down. Sure,
five girls.
And
five
we can do part one and part two if needed.
Yeah. Like, speed dating is like 2 minutes. I'm normally very good about speed dating. Now you're just making my chances difficult.
Well, we'll figure it out. We'll say 5 minutes. We'll say 2 minutes. We'll just figure it out.
Time to increase the success rate.
I guess. We'll see.
Actually, I think. Hold on. In the whole world of sales, that's where I think Stu messes up at. The more time you give him, the more time he shoots himself.
Okay,
but I think he talks himself down. But let's. But like I said, we'll figure that out. We'll work on that. But anyway, guys, this was an awesome event.
It was.
Awesome adventure. Love this talk. One of the things I get is like people are like, wow, you guys can be serious. So we started off very ditzy, and we're gonna have those really dumb episodes again,
yes,
as well too.
Purpose.
Yeah, on purpose for sure.
I'm trying to be smart all the time.
If I lose that bet, honestly, if I do lose that bet coming up, then it won't be the last waxing episode.
Yes.
I am afraid.
For the downfall.
I am definitely afraid, but. I am like, you know, I think, you know what? I honestly think, like, I more here, like, Rick is like the younger version of me or whatever, but I will hold up to that bet, yo.
That's
it's
right.
Like,
oh,
it
man,
goes down,
up.
It goes down.
Listen,
and the messed up part.
Then I'll never let you live. I will take it to your grave,
oh,
every family gathering. The bitches walk in, make sure you get to see at the kitty table. Oh, the kitty table. Oh, man, you live this forever. You're going to live to this bet.
That's right.
Honestly, I have to say, Craig, you don't need to ever back down.
Never once. Never once.
Thank you. Thank you. I hold up to all my bets. But anyway, guys, next adventure. But thank you guys for tuning in for this adventure of the
D-Squad.
Peace out.